Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, right? It's a good morning. You know, it's so funny. It's all about perspective when you wake up, right? I read this book. It was entitled Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I remember my father giving me that book when I was a kid. And just the whole concept of when you wake up, no matter what you feel. It was such a good song. I told Nevin, thanks for picking that song. I'm not moved by my feelings. I had my car towed this week. Prayed for the tow truck driver. I was okay. Like, I have the best cousin in the world who's a mechanic, so I knew, I was like, he's got me covered. You know, we got Jesus on emergency call. I also have my cousin who God uses in my life and told me what to do. And you know, I woke up with some symptoms in my body, and I was like, good morning, Holy Spirit. Because we're not moved by our feelings, right? The joy of the Lord is not subject to the circumstances in our life. Because we are moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So on that note, we're doing part three. I'm on a Holy Spirit series. I'm going to do part four next week. You know what's been so great about doing a series is I'm not bound to my notes. Because we just all get there eventually, right? We're on a journey. And I'll probably be teaching on aspects of Holy Spirit probably for the next year. So it's going to be fun. Just taking a little bit each month. But on your notes, it's Holy Spirit part three. Last week, we only got halfway through, so I actually only covered the public use of tongues. And today, the title is Untying Personal Tongues. And you can write down these scriptures. Acts chapter 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12. And 14. And I want to really encourage you to read everything in context. In fact, actually, the Bible's meant to be read fluidly. So don't even stop at the chapter. Try to read at least the first couple and the last couple verses right before and after. You know, we got in a lot of trouble in the church by reading scriptures out of context. Right? So we're going to stop that. All right. Well, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we are so thankful for the revelation of who you are. Jesus, just thank you. Thank you for so much. Thank you for being my healer. Thank you for being our healer. Father God, just thank you. Thank you for being Daddy God. You're so good to us. And we just give you this message. We give you this time. Holy Spirit, we just release you to have your way. Take this where you want it to go. Answer questions that are in people's hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, we just pray that... we don't speak more than we need to and give you lots of time. Amen. Amen. So how many people can feel, sense, know, even if it's by faith, that we are moving in a new season at YCF? Amen. You know, we should always be moving in a new season. Otherwise, we get stuck in the past. We'll miss what God has for us in the here and now and in the future. So we're moving into something new. We're moving into what I want to call a season of more. Everybody say, more. So what are we looking for more of? Number one, more of a revelation of who Jesus is. We get off from that, we're just going to fall off the map. Who Jesus is and what his heart is. His heart's for the lost. He's a healer. His heart is captivated by people that everyone else overlooks. And if we lose that heart, we've lost him. We've lost this point. We're also going to get into a revelation of more of what he bought for us back at the cross. Sometimes we get so excited, I'm free from hell, we forgot what we've been freed to. Amen? Amen? Where's the stuff we've been freed to? Amen. How about freedom? At the cross, Jesus not only bought back my freedom from hell, but a life of freedom, of identity in him, free from insecurity, free from shame, healing in our body. Healing in our mind, healing of those emotions, those feelings that kind of lead us off track. We're moving into a season of more of a revelation of who the Holy Spirit is as a person, not just a power, as a person, and his heart. And his heart is for the lost. And we're going to move in, and this is something I was sitting there, and the Lord said, you need to spend a little time on this. I said, okay, because we'll get there eventually, right? We're moving into a season of more of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, a lot of our charismatic Pentecostal churches, we've been so fixated on power, we've forgotten to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, you know, we talk about capping off the power of God in our lives. But you know some people cap off the fruit of the Spirit in their lives? Do you know how we do this? Because when we read the Bible, we read it for everybody else but us. So, yeah, right, right, Mr. Bob? I got that. God just, he said, you need to spend some time in this. I said, yes, sir. He said, otherwise you're going to get some resistance from some people. And I went, okay, well, I'm going to go with you, Holy Spirit. We are a Spirit-filled church. We are moving in a new season. And I want you to throw out what that looked like in the past. New wine for new wineskins. And if you think revival looked like it did 30 years ago, well, just wait, because it's going to look different. Amen. And if you keep praying it looks like 30 years ago, you will miss the boat. I've been spending some deep places of prayer, gotten to some of the groanings, which I'm going to hopefully get there. And I saw some flashes, and I've read pretty much every book on revival that God through other people and my father used to hand me all the time. So I know what it looks like for at least the last 100 years, and praise God for that. But don't you cap him off saying he's got to look like that, because from what I've seen in my heart, and haven't seen it all, it's going to look real different. And we're not going to push our agenda, are we? So here's what the Holy Spirit says. He said, throw out your notes for a second. And I said, okay. If you go to, I think it's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But we can probably quote it. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience. Songs. Ooh, I like, you know, someone said long-suffering, self-control. Isn't that an interesting one? The Lord said, I might just have to preach a whole new sermon. How many people have been damaged by a lack of self-control in someone else's life? I've done a lot of apologizing for a lack of self-control in my life. This mouth. 2013, I apologized to you guys. I'm telling you, it was quite a year. And we have to get to a place of free flow, fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Come on. Maybe we should do a study on that this week. Because if I'm so fixated on his power and I'm not letting the power of the word transform my heart and mind, my character, you will do more damage with that gun in your hand than you even know. How many people came from a generation where a lack of the fruit of the Spirit in a charismatic Pentecostal church did damage in your life where you go, whoa, if that's Holy Spirit, I don't know about that. I have. All right, Lord, we're just going to go where you want to go. Can we take a study on the fruits of the Spirit this week so we can go where we need to go? His heart is all about love. Love moves in decency and in order. Okay? Love practices some self-control, right? Love does not read scriptures for other people. Where's that log? It's not in their eye, it's in your eye. My eye. Ooh, let's just say that mine. I'm preaching. I got to deal with me. I got plenty of places to grow. There are people in this church that inspire me to be a better person. I'm gonna pick on someone, but I love it. I always say this. I love my cousins because they inspire me in areas to grow up. And I'm a pastor because they walk in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I could cry, but I love my family so much. And they've been an anchor to me to remember. Yes, God, I want all of you that I can get, but I need to remember constantly to let the word of God transform my character, Sherry Cashman, Sexton, whatever, in self-control in my life, in love in my life, in joy, and not in this part of my character that wants to rant and rave and get critical. I get around my cousins and that part of my character is like exposed, and I went, yes, Lord, I'm going to walk in more patience. Okay, love, joy, peace. I don't care if we can spend 30 minutes on this. We're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's all study on the fruits of the Holy Spirit this week so the Lord can take us where we need to go. Let's read the word to change our lives, not to correct someone else. Everybody hear that? What they need is this. What I need is him. They will know we are Christians by our love. We've got to be really careful how we say things. I'm learning a lot. Learning a lot about how the Lord speaks to us and moves and what the prophetic really is. It's not really what we think it is, or it's been exemplified. He will show you things to come. He will reveal mysteries to you. But if you don't stay on that line and go, God, how and when am I supposed to share this? Am I even supposed to share this? Maybe I'm supposed to intercede for this. Old Testament prophecy, it's a lot of doom and gloom, and you're messing up. Thank God Jesus came to set us free from, you're a mess up. I'm a mess. I'm such a mess without him. New Testament prophecy. If the Lord shows you something, it is to pray and speak life, speak the answer. We got to, can we purge the critical spirit out of your Christian fellowship? It's operated through me. I'm not throwing a stone. God's dealing with me on that. Sometimes anybody have a brain where they can walk into a room and see every single problem going on? Welcome to customer service. But you know, it's great if you train your brain to see a solution in every problem. Suddenly life gets good. Lemonade. We're off the notes. I have tons of scriptures, guys. We'll get there. Lemons. Life will take a lemon and chuck it. How fast can they pitch right now? I mean, it's always changing probably because of some unnatural things we do to our body. 100 miles per hour? Easily? 95? It's like getting a lemon chucked at your head. This is life. It's getting a lemon chucked at your head 95 miles per hour some days. Have anybody been hit with one of those? And we can either react emotionally by our feelings, done it a lot. Them lemons are, that's not a fruit of the spirit, okay? Raving, ranting is not a fruit of the spirit. Or we can make some lemonade, add some sugar, and go, Holy Spirit, what is your perspective on the situation? What do you want to do in the midst of this mess? Because he is in the business of restoration. He is the business of making some nasty, ugly stuff. Read the Old Testament. People make so many bad decisions. You want to see the hand of redemption? Read the Old Testament after you've got the New Testament down. God can take every terrible decision in your life and make something beautiful out of it. By the way, it is way more drama than a soap opera would ever portray on television. If you actually read the whole Old Testament, it's all kinds of full of bad, terrible decisions, like totally flesh rolled, tons of sexual sin. Are you kidding me? How'd you even think that? Why? Really? You read the Old Testament, you're like, my life's not that bad. Okay. But he redeemed it and brought Christ out of the bloodline of a lot of them. So where are we going with this? We're going to study on your own time. Is that okay? And don't read about the fruits of the Spirit and pick up scriptures on love, joy, and peace and self-control for everybody else in your life. Ask God to change your life. So Holy Spirit can flow out of you in a new way and not damage someone else that goes, whoa, we're good. If people don't like what you're selling, you might want to look at the fruit in your life. Okay, I think I did everything I was supposed to do. All right. Everybody, good? Good? Hang around some people that walk in the fruits of the Spirit, too, because you know it's transferable, right? You get around someone. Miss Gerald, where is Miss Gerald? Wait, there we go. Mr. JC, I'll tell you, sometimes I've had the worst days, and I come up to your house to do a pickup for someone. And I'll tell you, Mr. JC, always smiling. How you doing? You know? I'm doing good. Miss Gerald just gives me a big, I have a man of God that walks in strength because, you know, I don't have my daddies in my life, so I got uncles. And I got a woman of God that will just hug you and you get the love and the oil of joy. And I even smell like her when I'm done hugging and it smells good. Sometimes we got to hang around someone that is saturated in the fruits of the Spirit. We might need to change our friend group. I'm on this. I'm not bound to my notes these days. If you hang around a bunch of judgmental, critical people that all they do is complain about their life, their family, their church. I've been there. I've been that person. 2013, it was bad. Well, you probably need to change your friends. Can't change your family. We're with them for life, so you better get built up before you go. Hang out at the table. All right? I think we need to do some spiritual chiropractic adjustments in our life. Praise God. All right, getting back. Okay. Revelation of the Holy Spirit's heart. Heart for the lost. Heart for the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We want more fruit, more love, more power, more of him in our lives, more of his presence, a tangible presence where people get around you and they sense tangible peace. Do you know the tangible peace of God is one of the most powerful things? Ever been around someone, they just walk in peace and you know all kinds of crazy just broke up in their life. And it just, you get around them, you go, tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. I know people that walk in tangible love. Sharon Keith Reed, man, I love your family. I know, I'm calling people out because I'm off my notes, so why not? Tangible love has done beautiful things in their family. The power of love. Holy Spirit supercharged love changes. Lives and entire family trees are altered. Spirit of adoption. spirit of discipleship. We're going to walk more for the fruit, not just the fruit of the Spirit, but we want to walk more in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In our home, you better get your home in order first. In your work, and in our church. Think about that order. Because if we just have a little bless me club, and we just turn that switch off the moment we walk out that door, no one want to come to your church. They want to see him real. Tangible love, tangible joy, tangible peace, tangible self-control when all H-E-L-L is breaking loose at work. Well, that JC guy, he's different. Why is he different? I don't know. I'll go sit beside him in the break room. See what this guy's all about. Are you for real? Yeah, he is. I don't know. I'm gonna invite him to my barbecue. Because I want what he's got. They'll figure out what it is. We're just preaching on this. All right. So in order to get a life of more, in order to hunger for more, we need to get satisfied with less. In order to hunger for more, we need to be dissatisfied with less. Are you dissatisfied with playing church? I am. I don't got time. I'm too busy to play church every Sunday. What are we filling up on in our lives? What is the stuff, the busyness, the things that we fill our life with so Holy Spirit doesn't have enough space to move in your life, let alone you're so busy and everything's just all the time, you know, everybody's just talking, busy, and we're not really hearing him. He's always talking. Now, how many know, especially moms and dads, life is always busy, especially when you got kids at home. My mom used to lock herself in the bathroom just so she could have 5 minutes of sanity. Okay? That's right. Mom! But in those moments, we got to hear him in the midst of the storm too. But what is your life so full of that we don't have time to get full of him? It's time to re-examine everything that fills our life that takes his number one spot. Because when we get dissatisfied with less, we get hungry with more. And I want just more of him. I want more of his manifest presence in my life. I want more of the fruits of the Spirit in my life. I want more of the gifts of the Spirit in my life. I am hungry for more. How many people are hungry for more? How many people are too busy to know there's more out there? I go through those seasons. I think it's time we get really serious about an emotional claim we do in a moment in a church service where we go, yes, I want all of God I can get. And then we leave in our, I have a color-coded daily planner. People don't think I'm organized. I'm pretty decently organized. I love the control of being organized with tons of little things where I get them all done and the little checklists. Are we giving God space? Are we giving God space in our life? Do you want more of him? Anybody ever got to a point where they're just dissatisfied with playing church? I've gotten to points where I'm like, if this is all there is, is this it? Is this it? I want more. There is more. There is more. But if we're satisfied with this, not to get in a critical spirit, well, you need to do this. You need that. No, no. For more of him. That's right. In our own lives. What is revival? I'm not even halfway through my first page. I do have a billion scriptures. What is revival? Revival is in our hearts. It is a craving and a hunger and a thirst for more of him in our lives every single day. What does revival look like? It's when a room of people that all want more of Jesus and want to look more like him every day get in a room and suddenly there's a little bit of an overflow. Suddenly there's a stirring. Suddenly it gets bigger and it won't look like it used to. It'll look different. I don't know. Look different. I want revival in me. Stop praying for revival in everybody else. Stop praying for revival in every other church and in my church. Lord, I just want revival. Why aren't we seeing the gifts? Because you're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Actually, if you're praying for everybody else, we're in a critical spirit. Us, hearts. I want all of him that I can get, because if this is all there is, it's just not enough. It's just not enough. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play revival. I don't want to strike the cymbal. And they say without love, it's like striking a banging, screeching gong. For other people that don't understand in band what it's like for someone to hit the cymbals at the wrong time, think about chalkboards. I can't even handle this. So when we're not moving in love, loving lost people, loving the people around us, when we want to move in the gifts, not because I want to see something, I want to push something, I have a selfish thing I need to see. I want revival to look like this, and I'm going to make it happen. It is like taking your nails across a chalkboard. You ever been in worship and just the song is ministering to you and he's speaking to you, and someone who, I want to say revival, does something real goofy and it's not even like Holy Spirit and it's just like, well, we got to be mature enough to like continue to meet with him in the midst of these things. All right. I think I want all of him that I can get. I want more. It is Easter. Easter season. How many? I'm in pie duty in my house. Pie duty. Because my mom's selling her house. Pie. P-I-E. What did I say? What did it sound? Don't even tell me what it sounds like. It's probably awkward. I'm on the pie duty, dessert duty. And I love a homemade pie. Store-bought, that's fine. But I learned how to bake from my mama. Okay, and when someone has a true homemade pie, and I like them tangy, like I'm the one that puts extra lemon juice in my fruit pie. I like the zip. I like the unexpected little zip in there, okay? And I get one piece. You know, there's girls that take those small pieces. Come on. My family, I don't take the small piece, you know, okay? I want a big old piece of pie. So what is a good piece of pie taste like? Tastes like more. When it's good, you want more. Amen. And you know what pride keeps you from doing? Getting more. Spiritual pride and religion keeps you from getting more. So when we limit God in our life, it's like God saying, I got a whole big, tangy Easter homemade fruit pie for you. And you're just like, I'll just take a little slice. Thank you. I'm dieting. I have this thing called like the keto diet. I want more. He tastes like more. We're going to take a little tiny slice of the pie, shove it back in the box, and be like, no, I'm good. I'm exercising self-control. It might just be spiritual pride. So we just got to ask for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Lord is saying, when you go on this topic, there's going to be people that have walls up. And so I think I'm just doing this, get some of the walls down. I just want all of him that I can get. I want the whole pie. I just want him. More than anything, I want to make sure my life is overflowing with the fruits of the Spirit so I can be a carrier of him. Amen? I want all of him that I can get. Otherwise, we are just another dry, powerless, religious institution. Another club. And we don't need another one of those. There are other religions that do it better than us. What? Yep. Think about that. We'll leave that one. So what's holding you back now? What's holding you back? What is taking the space? What are we filling up on? What do we need to start becoming dissatisfied with? Maybe we should start fasting some of those things. I'm not talking food. I'm talking stuff. To reorient into hunger for him. And I guess we'll finally get into my lesson. And I think part of it is to get over ourselves, get over our pride, get over perceptions of people that have done damage in our life, and unzip our lips and let him come out. And he may come out in a spiritual song. He may come out with a tongue and interpretation. He may come up with a prophetic word. He may just tell you to go up to someone and say, I love you and Jesus loves you even more. And that may do more healing in their life than anything else in their life. But it will take us hungering for more and stop capping off his influence in our life because we're too busy. It's time to let him rip through our intellectual barriers and our pride and say, God, have your way, overflow out of me to change the world around me. When exactly are we spirit-filled? God's like, you got to keep getting everybody on the same page on this one. There are two separate experiences. One is salvation, most important one. Salvation is when you give Jesus your life. Romans 10, 9 and 10. When I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, he died on the cross for my sins and he rose again. He is alive and I give my life to him. When I say that out of my mouth and I believe it, don't force people to read some scripted prayer. You meet somebody, read this prayer, read this prayer, read this prayer. They have no, unless you spend some time with them, disciple them, have them over for dinner. It's just they're repeating stuff, but it's not in their heart. Got to reorient what we think what salvation is. Okay? So we get a portion of the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit of Christ Jesus comes to live within us. And he comes inside of us. It's a portion. It's him. Holy Spirit is in every single person that asks Jesus to come into life. He is named the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And this sparkly box has a lid on it. So what is the difference between getting saved and spirit-filled? Sometimes it's a back-to-back experience when you read about Cornelius, right? All right, but there are many other places in the Bible where people just got a limited portion. We read about Romans chapter 8. They didn't know there was more. But wait, there's more. Don't you love the commercials? But wait, there's more. And when you call right now, I'm not going to sell you the Holy Spirit. But wait, there's more. There's more than just salvation. There's this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and read it in Acts chapter 8, and there's probably five really, really well recorded instances of it. Go to Acts chapter 1, 4 through 5. I don't even know what time it is. Acts chapter 1, 4 through 5. Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, for which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not from many days from now. You shall be baptized, placed in, introduced to the Holy Spirit. That's the Amplified Bible. It's really fun to read out of. We miss stuff. So I love pickles. I ate one for breakfast. Why not? Pickles and eggs sounded really good. All right. So if you think about this, so the word, this Greek word from the original translation, which I stopped trying to pronounce them to sound smart because it just sounded dumb. But you can look it up for yourself. But this Greek word to baptize translates to English as immerse to the point of stain or dye. You dip the cucumber in, comes out a pickle, can't go back. It is a permanent change in your life, and it's a visible change. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples as he's departed, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might. And you will be my witnesses for me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What does that mean? You will have enough power to not only be a witness in your home, because you better be a witness in your home first. Okay? York County, Pennsylvania, United States, the world, wherever you go. That power comes upon you. So this word fill comes from a Greek word which means to satiate, to supply to the point of excess. It is not fill where it's right there. It's actually, it keeps overflowing into people, places, and situations around you. That is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We better overflow the fruits of the Holy Spirit first, by the way, if you want the power to impact. And it should affect every other person around you. And this power we talked about in our first lesson is to reach lost, hurting, and broken people. And the Bible records this, and witnesses saw change in their life. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. We talked last week about unity. We had a website crash. I'm telling you, it's hilarious. It actually didn't crash, but la, 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 we've been blocked out of it for 2 weeks. We're fine. It'll go back online on Tuesday. You'll see the messages. But unity, a spirit of unity. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire settled on each of them. Fire just is a symbol, like water is a symbol. Fire is a symbol of the manifest presence of God. So tons of times we look at spirit symbols in the Bible and we think it was the actual thing. It looked like, okay? Just like the dove came down like a dove. It wasn't an actual dove that came down on Jesus when he was water baptized. The Holy Spirit looked like a dove, okay? All right. So to experience a greater degree of God's manifest presence, think about this. It says this in Deuteronomy, I think it's 4:24. It says that the Lord God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And he will consume every part of your life that you give him. For all the pyromaniacs or camping people out there, if you don't feed the fire, the flame stays small, right? And it, yeah, I'll tell you. Good thing you got some embers. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he will fill every nook and cranny of your life that you give him access to. So what the Lord told me to spend time on is people that only give him access in power gifts at church, but they don't allow him to access their character, their personality, which is a continual process in my life, okay? He will fill and change every corner, every aspect of your life that you give him access to. Behold, I stand at the door and knock at your character. Behold, I stand at the door and knock in your financial decisions. Behold, I stand at the door and knock on how you're filing your taxes this year. Oh, change the topic. Okay. All right. We'll leave that there. Okay. It's time we pop the lid off the box and let Holy Spirit to overflow into every area of our lives and decompartmentalize. You know, those picnic plates? I don't like the baked beans mixing with a fruit salad. I like to be one way at church than I am at work. I don't like to invite my work friends over to hang out with my church friends. Something to think about. How? How do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? We just got to ask him. It doesn't have to be this bananas, super emotional experience at church. You can go sit in your car, technically at a traffic light. I don't recommend it. But you can go anywhere and go, Holy Spirit, fill me. I am giving you permission to invade my life and to overflow. I want all of you that I can get. It's really, really simple. We like to formulate in religious ways and make things really complicated and showy because we're bored Christians. Oh, did I say that? Yeah, you're bored. You need a big show? You're a bored Christian. Why are you bored? You're not discipling people. I'll be realist. I'll be honest. If you're bored in your walk, you're not discipling people. Because when you're really discipling people, you don't have time to be bored. How many people have invited broken, hurting people into your life over for dinner? You don't have time to get, you know, you're just filled with overflowing with him. Amen? Asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit is simply saying, God, I want all of you that I can get. Holy Spirit, just fill me. I give you access. You're a consuming fire. The Spirit of God is meant to burn through you like wildfire that affects other people. Some people are in isolation. That's not my notes. I heard that. Some people are in isolation, therefore the fire in their lives is not going to catch anybody else out. I like eating by myself. I had a lady approach me from I'm going to be very careful, thanks Lord, a longstanding spirit-filled organization that's been around for a really long time. And she says, how do I get the young people to come? It's all white hairs. And I went, okay. And I spent a time of prayer, legitimately prayed. And I was like, now, the culture at these meetings is probably going to be not something that not everybody is able to connect with. It actually may be a little off-putting. A lot of symbolism, a lot of stuff going on, and people are coming in with no teaching. They don't know where you're coming from. It's like walking into a different country. Some young people are going to walk through that door and be like, yo, check, please. I don't get it. But I said, here's the deal. I went up to her. I said, don't eat dinner alone. Tell your entire Christian organization, stop having dinner alone. Invite people over for dinner. I said, because I work with young people that don't come from families that either they're abusive and it wasn't a good situation in their life, or they don't have them. They don't have fathers in their lives. They don't have a mom in their life. They were stolen before their time. Could be mental illness operating. And they have major gaps. They need family. please invite people over for dinner. Please teach them how to cook. My grandma taught me to darn socks. I don't have to buy socks all the time. She taught me that means sewing the holes in your socks. There's a lot of life skills, changing oil in your car. There's a whole generation that does not have these domestic and man skills because they don't have family to teach it to them. Please, I beg of you. They'll probably then come to church with you. Where am I in my notes? I'm just being freed from my notes. What is Sherry being delivered of? Notes. When was the last time that the presence of God got so big in your life? That the love of God got so big in your life? The joy and the peace of God got so big in your life that it started bursting out on people around you? By the way, it doesn't have to be weird. I went to a conference. Praise God. Weird people make Holy Spirit weird. They're weird outside of church. They're not just weird. Don't be just weird at church, by the way. Some people just, they walk into like, weird switches on. Yeah! Like, sorry, I'm reeling that back in. Thanks, Lord. Don't want to do a lot of apologizing. Okay. Weird people make them weird. All right. But when was the last time you got so full of the love of God that it burst out onto a cashier? You just said, hey, you're doing a great job. I know that person was giving you a really hard time. You are awesome at your job. Man, I really respect you. And Jesus really loves you. Or pray for your tow truck driver after you call your cousin. I shared that story. I called my cousin, received the peace of God through my cousin. Okay. And I prayed for my tow truck driver, who's a really great guy. I said, we were kind of in the same line of business, customer service. I was like, yeah, do you get yelled at all the time with people on their bad day? He said, yeah. I said, me too. I'm going to pray for you. I felt like the Lord said, bless his business. He has dreams in his business. You know, he's just a tow truck driver, but the Lord said, go pray for him. And I just, as I was praying, I heard, pray for dreams he has in business. But if I was walking in self-centered panic and anxiety, I would have missed that opportunity. I didn't make it weird. I shook his hand, gave him my dad taught me how to give a good handshake, and it was a very short prayer. I was respecting his time. The evidence of a spirit-filled life is a life overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit. Study Galatians 5:22. A spirit-filled life in, let's see, Ephesians 5:18 means to be being, that's the Greek word, means to be being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a continual overflow. Acts 2, verse 4. The Bible records the Holy Spirit infilling with witnesses they saw and heard some different things going on in their life. The initial evidence was tongues and prophecy. We're going to talk about prophecy eventually, and it's not what you think. I'm telling you, it's cool stuff. Acts 2, verse 4, Amplified Bible says, everyone was present, was filled, diffused throughout their soul with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with different foreign languages and tongues. And as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue and appropriate words, the Holy Spirit filled them to excess. It overflowed out of them. What do you mean by a tongue? A tongue is simply a language. When you go to someone and you talk to them, it seems like they might be from somewhere else. What is your native tongue? What language do you speak? Many people are bilingual and trilingual. Okay, so a tongue is simply a language of heaven or of earth. 1 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, earthly and heavenly languages. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit transcends, bypasses our intellect and our understanding, and gives us the ability to speak in a different language. It could be of earth or the language of God. It is an outward sign and the evidence of the infilling and overflow of the Holy Spirit in our life. The proof is in the pudding. Talked about this last week. Jelly donuts, I love them. You don't know what's inside until you overfill them and you give a little squeeze. What's in there? Jelly donut. What's in you? Holy Spirit. But you can choose to let them out or keep them in. It's our choice. So my favorite one on this one is think about this. This is seltzer water. I stopped using Sprite for obvious sticky reasons. It was cheaper. Okay. So when you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord infuses you with power of his presence in your life. And when you get stirred up in the Holy Spirit by spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time allowing the fruit of the Spirit to overflow in people in your life, you get stirred up in your heart and God gets real. Jesus gets real in your life when you let him out. But do you know, you don't have to speak in tongues. Every person that is asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit has the ability, but they can choose not to. And don't get down on people for it, okay? Stop being judgy, deal with your own life, okay? So when you stir yourselves up spending time with him, something wants to come out of you. And it might be prayer for healing, and it might be a tongue, it might be a spiritual gift, but you can cap them off and quench them, okay? But it's way more fun, and life is way more fun. How many people have kids? Way more fun when things get messy, right? So that was my nice way of doing it for the sake of time. You can take a couple minutes each day and let him out. Or you can just let him out all the time. No guilt, shame, and condemnation, right? Because we're dealing with us and other people. All right. So it is for everyone who believes. Acts chapter 2, 38 through 39. Peter answered them and says, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of and the release from your sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you, for you, your children, and to all that are far away." It's for everyone. So tongues is also part of the Great Commission. Did you know that? But we stop halfway through it. We just pick the comfortable ones. Mark chapter 16, 15 through 7, or 15 and 17 says this. Jesus said to them, or us, because we're reading the Bible for us and not other people. Jesus said to us, "Go into all the world, go to work, go to the grocery store, go on your vacation." You don't take vacations from God. You take vacations with him. Amen? That's missionary work 101. "Preach the gospel to all creation, not just people at church." If the only time you're preaching is at church, we have a problem. "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues." In your Bible, that's in red. Red means Jesus said it. We should probably pay a lot of attention to the red stuff, right? Because he keeps us on track. Don't limit and cut off part of the Great Commission. A lot of denominations do. That's okay. They do real good preaching. They get people born again in places that we're not going. So praise God, right? But there's another half. Why do tongues make people nervous? Listen to last week's message when I'm able to post it. Because of the abuses we've done in public. Through lack of education. Through selfishness. Through immaturity. Being a baby Christian. Wrong place. Wrong time. Wrong circumstances. I want a show. I'm making it all about me. Okay. So think about this. If you get a Christmas gift, and for all you techie people out there, it is a brand new state-of-the-art sound system. And for all the people that hate reading manuals besides myself, if you try to set that thing up and you're not naturally gifted in technology, or even if you think you are, and you don't read the manual, aka the Bible, you could do a lot of damage. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are very, very powerful, but unless you're reading and studying the Bible in context, you're going to do more damage. So probably should read this thing. Need to know the right time, the right place, and the purpose of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 39 through 40 says, "Desire earnestly to prophesy, tongues plus interpretation," which is prophecy. We'll get to that later. "And don't forbid the speaking of tongues, but be sure that everything is done in decency and in order." Today, I don't know if we'll have a lot of time, but we're going to talk about personal tongues. I don't know if we're even going to get there. We might do it next week. What is the purpose of tongues? Why should we all speak in tongues? Tongues is the language of God. It's for us to communicate intimately with God without limitation. So we're able to pray the perfect will of God in our lives for others and are for ourselves. So the CB radio, anybody know what a CB radio is? All the people that are 30 and over. Okay. CB radio, like in trucks or in public workers' vehicles or whatever, gives people the ability to speak on the same frequency. So different people use different channels for different purposes, right? Different reasons. There are special channels for emergencies. Anytime you need the police or an emergency assistance, they switch to a frequency to communicate to each other. And they monitor those conversations, right? You always hear the police. The worst is when you're getting pulled over, you know, and I'm hearing them squawking in the background, all the emergencies. You should help them and stop giving me a ticket. There are people with guns and drugs. Okay, judging. All right. Ephesians 2:2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. People have created whole theologies on this and gotten to crazy town. But think about this. Satan can't listen into our emergency channel. He can't. Tongues is just a bunch of static to him. So when he turns, he listens to tongues. It's like this. That'd be annoying to listen to for a really long time. I should keep doing it. That's why he doesn't want you speaking tongues. It's a frequency that Satan can't pick up because it's the language of God. It bypasses Satan's radar and pushes past his surveillance. He does not know what you're saying. So how many people remember the first war in Iraq? Some people have served. Thank you for serving. I'm just so grateful. The U.S. and the Allies were up against one of the most modern radar defense systems in the enemy camp. And that was a massive problem. But they created this thing called the stealth bomber. How many people, I don't know, guys and girls, if you had like the little mini model of the stealth bomber? It was the coolest thing. Why? Because they created this thing to fly underneath their radar system, right? It got through it. And they could attack without being detected. So when you pray in the spirit, it goes before the throne room of God. And you are speaking mysteries that Satan can't understand. And he can't thwart it. Tongues enables us the power to pray healing and deliverance and blessing over people's life. It bypasses our own limitations of our lack of understanding because we don't always know what's going on in someone's life. We just know we're supposed to pray. And it prays out God's strategy. So when Satan is attacking you from every side and you've prayed all that you know to pray in English, we have to pray in the spirit. So we go into God's presence and God has given us a weapon to blast through the gates of hell. So why does Satan fight so hard to keep people from praying in tongues? Because if you confuse people from the truth, Satan will keep you from a weapon that he can't defend against. Why don't people want to pray in tongues? Control issues. They're afraid about being weird. Weird people make them weird, okay? But it's meant to be a vital, daily part of our lives. So we're now only going to just touch on one of those tongues, but I need to like touch on it. And I will share one story and I'm going to preach on it, I guess, next week. But one of the most important reasons for moving in the gift of tongues is tongues for private personal intercession to pray for other people. And this is the one thing I have to get done and grace for our altar ministry at the end, but it is to help us pray for others. Is it okay? And can I have 5 minutes, maybe 7. Is that okay? I don't want to be those people going, I'm wrapping it up. I need probably about 5 to 7 minutes to tell one story. When things confront us that are bigger than us, bigger than we can handle, how many people have had situations that are just bigger than you can even handle? Or people have knocked on your door at 1 a.m. and they have a situation that you are not equipped to handle. You don't even have the emotional capacity and all you want to do is cry and your heart breaks. A lot of the situations that sit in my office sometimes, abuse situations and such. And it's deeper than even our human understanding can comprehend sometimes of what people are really going through, especially when someone's rattled emotionally or maybe a not communicative person. You know, people that aren't really big into sharing their feelings like a lot of people, trust issue people and just personality stuff. We know there's some big stuff going on in their life, but we don't know what it is and they're not sharing or maybe they can't even talk about it. The Lord has given us a weapon. So when you don't know what to say and your heart is crushed and it's overwhelmed, or you've already prayed all that you know to pray, Romans chapter 8, 26 through 27, and the Amplified says this, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weaknesses, when we do not know what to pray or offer, or how to offer it as we should, but the Holy Spirit himself knows our needs and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. I was in a place of prayer for our church and I prayed, I'm not going to cry. I just prayed everything that I knew. And there were just things in my heart and desires and even just some things that I know are going on in some of our lives here that I prayed everything I knew to pray and I didn't even have words. And it broke out into this thing and it was like this, how do I put it for man terms? Man terms, if you have to lift something really heavy, let's just say, I'm thinking about mechanics because my cousin here, but let's just say we try to change a tire, okay, and the car falls on our friend. That is outside. What do you do? You called 911. You got to get that thing off your friend. And you are pulling and pushing with all of your might. and then something supernatural. They have these things recorded where supernatural strength comes in. Like they call it adrenaline. I don't know. Like especially moms with children, there's just something that kicks in that God did in your body. This crazy little drug of adrenaline and other stuff. And supernatural strength. And with that strength of you don't even know what's going on in your body, a groan comes out. Okay, you don't have to do that when you're praying. People do weird stuff. But I will say this. I needed a manly example. But there's just something that comes out of you when you're lifting something heavier than you can handle. Sometimes when we are praying and tears come out and there's just that groan because you just... It doesn't have to be emotional. Some people have taught weird theology saying this has to be a super emotional thing. No. It is a noise. It is a sound. It can be tongues. It can turn into this thing called like a groan. And I don't have time to preach it or teach it, but I'll say this. When it says in the same way, it's actually referring to the creation of the earth. And what we do when we get into the deep places of prayer, there's a place of birth or travail that happens. And I'd probably need 45 minutes to teach it, which I don't have. But you will birth something spiritually before it happens in the natural. You will pray for a change in your family before it actually happens. It might take 2 years. You know, with birth, you know, moms and dads, there's a conception, right? And there's the 9 months you carry it to be pregnant with a promise. And then your wife grabs you by the back of the shirt like my mom did my dad, going, "You did this to me!" Because a groaning has happened. They are in travail. We are in transition. We are birthing something. 45 minutes. I don't have time to teach it. Okay? So there's a place of prayer. Words have a creative force. Romans 8:27, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We have limited understanding of what is going on in the world. It's hard to talk to the top head U.S. general about our defenses. Number one, we don't have access to what he has access to. We don't have his clearances. We don't even know the lingo. I'm terrible with acronyms. We got an ACP on the GCP. Blah, blah, blah. I'm terrible with that. Like, I don't even know. But sometimes we need to communicate with the Lord about things we don't even know that's really going on in someone's life or in the world or in another country, right? But we have an intuition, right? You know, you get around someone, especially they talk about the feminine intuition. You just kind of pick up on something. Something's off. I need to pray. So when we communicate, we pray in tongues, we communicate with the King of the universe on his level in a language we don't even know. So I'm going to share one, maybe two stories. Okay, I think I have like 2 minutes that I promised. When we pray in the Spirit, we rely on the deep intercession of the Spirit. Intercession means to cause a meeting with God, to stand in the gap. So we have someone broken and hurting, and we have Jesus over here, and I hold each of their hands, and I cause a meeting. I pull those two people together. And that's what prayer, you can intercede in our, we should be praying in English every day, praying for other people, right? Causing a meeting with God. So a good story I have on this, but when I moved here, it was probably around 2012, I was cleaning my room and all of a sudden I just felt this urge to pray in tongues. I was by myself, I was in my room. So I just started praying in tongues and it was like this urgency. And I'm praying in tongues and I'm praying in tongues and I'm like, God, what am I even praying about? This isn't like a normal pray in tongues and build yourself up and strengthen yourself. We'll talk about that next week. And I got a flash of a face. And it was a young man in my youth group in Skiatook, Oklahoma. It was an outreach we had done. We went to a place in the sticks where they had the worst meth rates. It's terrible. Most of their parents were locked up or drug addicts. And there weren't any youth programs in this podunk town. And so we actually visited all the churches represented in the denominations and lovingly asked for permission, because you need to honor the people that are plowing the ground in that area. And we said, we're not building a church here. We promise no church plant. We would like to start a youth program and send them to your churches. And we gutted out a Walmart, built a skate park, threw a stage. It was a little ghetto, but it's what my church did. We just, on whatever budget you have, and 150 kids showed up. 150. Because it was better than doing meth with their parents. And there was a young man, and I focused on young women's ministry, but I just only knew this guy by name. I've only had like short conversations, but I saw his face. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. And honestly, I didn't always remember their names. And all of a sudden, I saw this kid's face, and I remembered his name out of nowhere. And I won't say his name. And I heard suicide. So I prayed. And I prayed in tongues, and I prayed in tongues, and I prayed in my understanding, and I prayed in another tongue, right? And I prayed in understanding, too, because now I knew I was coming against a spirit of death and suicide, and I was releasing purposes and plans and his value. And I prayed, and then I called. Because, by the way, if you see an emergency, you need to call. If you can't go there yourself, go drive in your car. I couldn't drive to Oklahoma in time. So I called a youth leader that I knew that was on staff at that church, and I told her what happened. I said, can you send someone? And they sent someone. It is not about us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not about you. I don't know about that. I don't know if I want that. But it's needed. It's needed. You can have an urgency to pray and pray everything you need to, that you can know, and there is still more. Last story. Several years after that, I was sleeping in the middle of the night, and it was about 3 a.m., and I heard this, what sounded like a door slam. Woke right up. And I was in the middle of a dream, and I dream really vivid dreams all the time. Every night I have a different dream. And in my dream, I had a family member that I hadn't seen in a long time, and they were hanging out with someone. And in my dream, nothing looked different with them. Like, they seemed like a normal person, seemed nice. But in my dream, I'm watching my family member interact with them, and my gut, I was like, they don't have good intentions for them. It's weird. I woke up, and I didn't know what to do with my weird dream, so I just prayed. I had kind of an urgency just to pray. So I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed until I fell back asleep. I called that family member the next day. They didn't call me right back. They called me back a week later. I shared the dream that I had with them. And they were in a particular place that was probably not smart to be at 3 a.m. They were with a particular person that was a friend. And I shared the dream. I described the person that I saw in my dream. And they go, I know who that is. And what they were pushing and influencing their life. And for just, I'm not going to share what that was, because just to protect privacy, it was a really dark path. But in this generation, in this culture, it's not dark, right? Sin is pleasurable for a season. And that actually confirmed with my family member going, yeah, you know, I don't think I should be hanging out with them anymore. They keep pushing me in this one area. And it actually gave them the strength and confirmation to cut ties and move into a healthier place. That's all I'm supposed to share. Come back next week. I have two other stories, but for time, and I'm keeping to my time. Actually, I took longer, so forgive me. I thought I could do 7. It was 10. Let y'all just stand up. I don't know what to do. I felt like I was obedient to share everything I was supposed to share. The worship team can take the stage. And can grow group leaders come forward? If you're a grow group leader, come up. Youth leaders, if you want to pair up with someone, you come forward. But we're going to open the altar, and I don't want to keep you longer. And I apologize. I went somewhere the Holy Spirit said to go, but I know I was obedient. But if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've never asked the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, come on up. These people are going to pray. Uncle Jim, come on up. It's awesome. Yeah. Come on up. They're going to pray with you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you either haven't prayed in your prayer language in a long time, or you're one of those bored, critical, not flowing with the Holy Spirit kind of moments, and you need a fresh touch, because when life is hard, we leak. I want you to imagine me holding up a cup of water. And life is hard, and people are drinking from our cup and pulling on us, and we just leak. And after a while, if we're not continually filling ourselves with him, we get empty, right? So we leak. We have to be being continually filled up with him. So I'm just going to not keep you long. So I'm going to lovingly say this. If you guys could just honor the presence and just stay for a minute or two, you can time it on your cell phone. And give people some space and time to come forward. And then you can slide out and be powerful in whatever God's called you to do. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you so much. We thank you, Lord. I just feel like the Lord's just saying it's just time to take a moment of personal repentance for for filling your life with other stuff instead of filling up on Him. And it's time, this is what I felt like the Lord saying to you. He said, it's time to just ask God to forgive you for the distractions, the things we've tied our identities to, the things we think that matter, but really there's no point of eternity in it. God wants us to enjoy life and have adventures. But if our enjoyment and our pleasure seeking and our adventures take all the space, we're supposed to have adventures with Him. I go skiing with my uncle. I pray the whole time down. It's been great. Okay, you can do adventures with God, okay? But if your desires in your heart are not leaving space for Him, it's just between you and Him. You don't have to come to an altar to do this, but just say, Father, forgive. Orienting our hearts right now, saying, Jesus, you are number one. And if you want to, this is between you and God. You can do it at your seat, or you can come forward. We just say, fill me up, God. We love you so much. So if that's you, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, or maybe you were a long time ago, and the gift has just gone dormant, it's just kind of gone to like embers. The Bible says that you, in 1 and 2 Timothy, it says to stir yourselves up and to have the elders of the church lay their hands on you as a point of contact and to stir up, shake up the bottle again. If you'd like to pray in your prayer language, you've never prayed in it before, come on forward. They're just going to pray for you. I'm not creating an emotional experience. I heard someone just say, this is just emotional. Nope. We're not a church that conjures and pulls on your emotions. This is just between you and God. But the Bible does say to stir yourselves up and have people lay hands on you in a non-weird way. Come on forward. God, have your way in our lives. Take away all our preconceived notions of what revival looks like, Lord, and just take all of us in our hearts. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, you guys are dismissed. I'm not going to keep you, but go home and pray about some of the things. Come back next week. We're going to dig into some stuff. I got some stories. If you have sickness in your body and you'd like someone to stand with you for healing, come forward. We'd like to pray for you. God's will is for you to be healed. We'd love to just pray for you. So have a wonderful afternoon. We love you guys.